all them storms originated in that sea and all the clouds. But there ain't going to be no storms in glory. Hallelujah. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Sounds like heaven, don't it? He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of being in your house one more time, this side of glory. I ask you, Jesus, Lord, to touch us and help us. Sure do need your help. I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts and our minds, God, and I pray that you would plant exactly what you'd be pleased with inside us. Help us, Lord, to understand your word. Help us, dear Holy Ghost, Lord, and speak through us and say the things that you'd be pleased with. Hide us behind the cross that nobody would be seen but you. And we'll give you all glory and all honor and praise, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Alrighty. So we have looked, I guess this is part five. So in our final part here, we have looked way back at the rapture. Remember that. We've looked at how that's going to take place and how soon that is. Won't be long till we get out of here. And then we've seen sort of what's taking place right after the rapture, where we're going to be. And we're going before the Bema seat of Christ. We're the judgment seat of Christ. Our sins will not be judged. Our sins were judged at Calvary, but our works will be judged there. Things will pass through the fire, and all of the things that didn't account for anything is going to burn up. But the things that we did for the Lord will come forth as gold, the Bible says. We looked a little bit into Revelation between chapter 4 and chapter 19. We've seen a little bit about the tribulation and how this world is going to fare during the time while we're in heaven, that 7 years. Then we looked last time, after that 7 years is up, in chapter 19, we looked at how the Lord is going to come. He's going to destroy. And then the battle of Armageddon, he's going to destroy all the armies of the world. And he's going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. We're going to reign here on this earth with him for 1,000 years. That's amazing, isn't it? And we've seen at the end there that we know that Satan was bound there. At the end, Satan is let loose. He's allowed to tempt those that's born during that time. But after that, we've seen the great white throne judgment in chapter 20, and where the lost will be judged according to their works. And they have no blood that's been applied. Satan is bound. Satan is cast in the lake of fire, and he's eternally tormented, and he'll never be thought about again. I believe what we just read. I believe God's going to give us a new mindset. I believe with all my heart. No doubt, prior to chapter 21, I wonder these tears here that's going to be wiped from our eyes. I wonder if we might see some that we might could have reached we're going to be crying for some reason. But I believe God is going to wipe those memories. He's going to take any thought of Satan. He's going to take any thought of anybody that didn't make it. If you're lost and don't know Jesus, when this thing's all said and done, you're not even going to be a memory. I don't believe that. I don't believe it'd be heaven if you had to go through heaven and think about someone that you had down here that didn't make it. So if you're going to get in, it'd be a good time tonight. It'd be a good time to get born again while there is time. Because there's coming a day when there will be no time. But I want to look here tonight, and let's just take our imagination. That's all we have. Our very feeble imaginations. I read what John has wrote in these two chapters here, and in very few parts in the Bible speaks about heaven. And I don't really think the English language or any language, as far as that's concerned, can describe heaven. I don't think it can really be put into words what's waiting on us. He did say, "I have not seen, neither has ear heard," about the things that God's prepared for those that love Him. There's no way we can really describe heaven, but we're going to sort of take a glimpse into glory. We're going to try to look into the heavenlies at what's waiting on us the best we can tonight. So let me borrow your imagination just for a little bit, and let's step into this and let's look at it, because it's going to be our eternal home. Boy, I sure am looking forward to it. It sort of reminds me, as we look at this, it sort of reminds me of Christmas time, and them presents are wrapped up under the tree there, and all you can see is the wrapping paper. All you know that it's a Christmas present, and all you know it's got your name on it. And you know, Mama or Daddy one may come over there and say, "Well, it's round," or it's something you wear, or it's something, you know. They just give you a little bit of a hint, but they won't tell you exactly what's in the box. And the good Holy Ghost is pinned down, I believe, with all my heart. He's give us just a few hints of what's in the box. And boy, I sure am looking forward to the day when we get to open the box and rip off that wrapping paper and open that thing up. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Hallelujah to the Lamb. First of all, I want to look at the sights of heaven. The sights of heaven. Notice, first of all, the location. Bible says here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He says there, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. We're seeing here this new heaven and this new earth. It's going to be totally different. The earth that we live on now, He's God. He flung everything. He created everything. Put it all into existence in only 6 days. The seventh day rested in Genesis in chapter 2. And then we see here that God has been going back over in John chapter 14. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you." He said there that He's coming again to get us one of these days. But if He's been gone for some 2,000 years, and He has prepared us a place in glory, and it only took Him 6 days to make all this, ain't no telling what He's made for us up there in 2,000 years. Amen? What a place, and what a lovely place that's going to be. This new heaven and this new earth, it's going to be magnificent. It's going to have a purpose, and we're going to get into that here in a little bit. And we're going to see exactly what part it plays. But not only the location, we're going to see this location, this new earth and this new heaven. And there is no description. I'm preaching it just the way it is. I'm not going to stand up here and say, "Well, it's going to be like this or going to be like that," because I absolutely do not know. And any preacher or any commentary that says they know, they don't know. They lying. Heaven is going to be a spectacular place. Amen. This new earth is going to be a spectacular place. It's going to be a wonderful place. But not only the location, but in Revelation 21 and verse number 22, we see the Lamb in this place. We're going to see Him. Notice verse number 22 of this same chapter. The Bible says this, "And I saw no temple therein." and John's describing it. He said, there's no place to go to church. He said, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple in it. And the city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now look in chapter 22 and verse number 4. And they shall see His face. Oh, listen, what a day it's going to be. I know that song says it. When my Jesus I shall see, but one grand and glorious day. What a blessing it's going to be that we're going to go on those streets of gold, and that's going to be great. We're going to see the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the 12 manner of stones that's decorating the walls. We're going to see spectacular things, the clear and crystal river that proceeds from the throne of God. We're going to see all these things, the mighty throne. I'm going to tell you something that's going to be very special. When we watch this great white throne judgment take place, and we see the havoc of the 7 years of tribulation that's taken place, and we see the sincerity of salvation, it is a must. It is a very dire need that you and I are born again and that we're saved. And one day it's going to sink in, the reality of what we missed and what He saved us from. We're going to get to see the one that died on Calvary's cross. We're going to get to see the nail print hands. We're going to get to see the side that's been riven so that the blood and the water gush forth. We're going to see everything. We're going to see Jesus just like He is. What a blessing. Ain't that going to be something? Can you imagine? We've all got a picture of what He looks like. Ain't no telling. It may be that picture that was painted over in Rome. It may be whatever you want to think, but it's going to be way different than any of our imaginations. Ain't no picture ever described Him. Amen. Ain't no movie ever described Him. But one day we're going to walk up and we're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're going to know Him. You're not going to say, who is this? But you're going to know Him because He is our Lamb. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He is the one that died for my sins and your sins so that we could go free. And what a day it's going to be when I get to go up. And I heard one song say, I'm going to walk right up and shake the Master's hands. Oh, I beg to differ. I'm going to crawl up, and I just hope I can touch His feet or the hem of that great, glorious garment. I can't wait till I get to see the one that made it all possible and that relieved me from this body of sin and takes me to glory. I'm looking forward to that day. What a sweet, sweet day that's going to be. He is the Lamb of God, and we're going to get to see Him. They'll look upon His face. What a verse that is. Isn't that amazing that we're going to look into the face of God? Oh, listen, I am a nobody. As Brother Tom Gillum used to say, I'm a zero with a rim rubbed out. I mean, I'm absolutely nothing. But one day I'm going to get to walk up there, and I'm going to get to see the one that created it all. Oh, listen, what a blessed day that's going to be. Ain't you glad of that? The location in this sight, and as we see the Lamb. But also, I notice in chapter 21, in verse number 9, flip back a page. We're going to flip back and forth in these two chapters here. But in chapter 21, in verse number 9, not only the location and the Lamb, but we see the Lamb's wife. The Lamb's wife. Notice that. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, and said, come up hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, who is that, preacher? That's the ones that accepted Him while down here. That's the ones that while Brother Ken's been preaching and people has walked down to this altar and knelt in this altar here and put their faith in Christ, ask Him to forgive their sins. They were birthed into the family of God. They're now a part of the bride of Christ. That's saved, folks, if you're wondering. That's born again, folks. That's if you're saved tonight, raise your hand. Amen. Ain't you glad you're saved? If you're saved tonight, that's you right there. anybody that's passed on, anybody that's gone on before us. As you know, my mother-in-law went on. She went on last Tuesday before us, and she's gone on to glory now, and she's a part of that. One of these days, we're going to see those that's gone on before us, and we're going to see them face to face. What a blessing that's going to be. There's not going to be any more riddle bodies. There's not going to be any cancer. There's not going to be any more heart problems. There's not going to be any more Alzheimer's or dementia. There's not going to be any kind of disease in this land. It's going to be a perfect land. Paul said in the book of Ephesians that he's going to change this vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. What a day that's going to be when we see those that have gone on before us. Ain't it a blessing? I've grown sort of fond of most of y'all in here, amen. Yeah, maybe two or three of y'all like me. But listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, we're not going to come here all wore out and tired on Wednesday night. Amen? Not all riddled down by this world and what it's put on our backs. We're not going to come in here Sunday and worrying about this and worrying about that. But one day, there's a Lamb up there, and He's going to be the temple. He's going to be the church. Amen? And we're going to Him, and we're going to have Liberty Baptist Church up in glory land one day. Won't it be a blessing whenever we get to see one another gather around that throne and say, I believe we'll look over to one another, maybe elbow somebody and say, it was worth every mile. It's worth every trial. It was worth everything we went through down there. Every battle we faced, every hard time we had to go through, it'll be worth it when we get up there. It'll be worth it, I say, when we see Him. And we see our loved ones, and we see the band gathered around. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Thank God for a place called heaven. The sights of heaven. And that's just touching the hem of the garment. You read on through chapter 21, and you'll see there. I challenge you to read it. You'll see there that the gates are made of one pearl, and the walls are of jasper. And the streets are of solid gold. I can't even put that in there. I know these people drawn pictures and tried to make things look, but we really can't figure that out. We can't think about that. We don't know what it looks like. And what a day when we see all these things, but not only the sights of heaven. Let's look at the society of heaven. The society of heaven. Revelation chapter 21. I'm sorry, chapter 22 and verse 1 through 5 there. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 5, we see. The Bible says this, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So the heavenly people, we've got two different types of people here. So we see those, and I want to look at this also. In chapter 21, back up in verse number 24, the Bible says this, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. It's speaking about this celestial city. It's speaking about this heaven that you and I are going to be in. Now, we understand this, that you and I are born again because we put our faith in Christ. Now, the Jews are God's chosen people, and they are going to inhabit the earth. There's going to be an earth. I don't know if it's going to be round, flat. I don't know if it's square. I don't know all that stuff. But They're gonna dwell here. There's gonna be nations here on this earth, and don't ask me to explain all this. I'm just telling you what. There's gonna be nations here. There's gonna be kings here, according to the Bible, and there are gonna be kingdoms down here on this earth, and they're gonna come into this city. The gates of it's not gonna be shut by day or by night. It's gonna be open, and they're gonna be able to come in and out. And this tree of life is going to be accessible to them, and they're going to be able to obtain those leaves, which is for the healing of the nation. Now, if you remember back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord had to run them out of that garden. You remember why? Because he said, lest they partake of the tree of life. So if they had taken of that tree of life, that tree of life would have given them life forever back then. So he run them out of that garden so they couldn't partake of that tree also. But this tree of life is here in heaven now, and people are going to come from this new earth. They're going to come from here, and they're going to go up, and they're going to have access to go in and out. They're going to bring glory and honor, the Bible says. I have no idea if it's stuff they've grown down here. I don't know if plants are going to be a thing. I don't know if we're going to eat vegetables. I don't know what we're going to. But we're going to have things up there that they're going to bring. But you and I are going to be in this celestial city. He's prepared us a place because we've trusted in him by faith. And we believed in him by faith. But the Jews rejected him, remember? They rejected him, had him crucified. But they're still God's children. They're still his children forever, according to the Old Testament promises. So there's heavenly people. And then there's this new earth people is what I'm calling. So there's going to be two different, but they're going to mingle together. They're going to be together, but they're going to be separate as well, I believe. But also, think about the society in heaven also. Think about the angels that we'll see. Little things that we don't really think about. I think about Michael. He's the war angel. You'll read about him a lot in the book of Daniel. He's the war angel, mighty angel. That he stands up to Satan himself. And then you have Gabriel. He's the Annunciation angel. He's the one that more than likely came to Mary and announced to her that you're going to be giving birth to a son. You call his name Emmanuel. And so we're going to see these angelic beings. If we look over in Isaiah chapter number 5 or chapter number 6, we'll see there the seraphims with the six wings and the cherubims that we see in our Bible all through Revelation. It's going to be something that would blow our minds if we could look into it today. You know, I think about John as he wrote this book here, this book of Revelation. I believe with 100%, I don't believe he fell asleep and he had a dream. I don't believe all that. I don't believe it was a vision. I believe that John himself, I believe that he got to step out of time and go up into the eternal and see these things firsthand. So you and I, as I think I've said before, you and I are in this time capsule. You know, the reason it's 7:30 right now is because of our place around the sun, where we're orbiting the sun. That's why it's 7:30 on March 26th right now, 2025. All right, that's why we're there. But when we step out of this body and leave this atmosphere and go up into the third heaven, there is no more time. Never has been and never will be. It's not March the 26th, 2025, 7:31 in glory right now. That's just not it. Right now, it's day one in glory, and right now, it's day 29 in glory. It's just one constant time that we're stepping into. And I believe that John somehow, in some way, again, My mind cannot fathom it. I cannot put it together. But I believe John was ushered up into heaven. He, the Bible says, come up hither in John, in Revelation chapter 4. That angel told him, come up hither. So I believe that John literally was taken up into the glory world. I believe he saw these things. Quite possibly, I believe that he saw heaven completed. I believe he saw everybody that was going to make it. And listen to me, God knows exactly to the soul of every person that's going to be there. God is a sovereign God. God is a holy God. God knows, his knowledge is 100% truth. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Matter of fact, I don't know what 8 o'clock tonight holds. But God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything, and he knows who's up there. And we're as good as in glory tonight. Amen. I'm just waiting on the call, amen, for my spirit to join my new body in glory. So we see the society of heaven. What a society that's going to be. So we've got the heavenly people, and we've got the earthly people coming in and out. Please read this when you go home. I hope this sort of sparks something in you to make you want to study it. Look at these people from chapter number 21, verse 22, all the way through 22 and verse number 1. They're going in and out, and they're bringing things, and they're getting these leaves, and they're coming before. And you and I, if we look back in chapter 21, that angel took John up, and he showed him the bride, the Lamb's wife. And you see these society, you see these things, you see all these angelic beings of all various sorts. And you see the Lamb, you see Jesus. And we'll get to look, God is a spirit, but we'll get to look upon that grand throne. And we'll get to see the magnificent river that flows from that throne. Well, what a sight it's going to be in seeing the sights and the society of heaven. But I thought about also in heaven, I believe there's going to be some sounds there. What's heaven going to sound like? What's heaven going to sound like? As we can think about the most peaceful place down here that we might go. You might like to get off on the backside of your property. You may like to go to a park somewhere or whatever it might be to get some serenity, get some peace, and just unwind and get away from everything and get some quietness. You know, what's heaven going to sound like? What's it going to be like? Well, we're going to have bodies that we're not going to need to go unwind. We're not going to need to go de-stress. We're not going to need to go and mourn. We're not going to need to go and unwind, so to speak. But we're going to be in a perfect body, in a heavenly body, and we're going to feel like $1 million all the time. Just say that, you know. We're going to feel good. We're going to have a grand body, a perfect body, just like the Lord intended from the beginning. I believe if we look back, I want to show you just a little bit, best scripture I can find, Revelation chapter 5, just to give us a little bit of a glimpse of what heaven is going to sound like. By the way, I want to say this before I get into this. If you don't like loud places, you probably don't want to go. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be loud up there. When you get some people, you think about that. I don't care if you're a quiet person. Brother Dennis over there is going to need, he's going to shout and tackle out when he gets to glory, ain't you, Brother Dennis? I'm telling you, it's going to be a loud place. There's going to be, first of all, there's going to be shouting in glory. Watch with me in chapter number 5 of Revelation and verse number 9. The Bible says this, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a quiet voice. Is that what he's saying? No. They not in there having conference, are they? But they said with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and are all that I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So, first of all, there's going to be loud shouting. And there's going to be singing. We're going to sing. I believe we'll sing. Possibly the Lord may let us sing songs like Amazing Grace. Say some of these old songs down here, maybe in that redback hymnal. We may get to gather around up there. I sure hope so. Wouldn't it be a blessing, that song we just sung about the blood? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we got to gather around and sang 177 or 57? Amen. Wouldn't it be a blessing to get to sing one? I love 150 is about my favorite. Amen. I want that song at my funeral. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a blessing to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus? Wouldn't it be a blessing to gather? And you know, there's going to be a new song, though, that we're going to sing. We're going to sing and we're going to shout. And when you get there, you think about this and you realize it dawns on you. I don't think it's really dawned on folks, or either we flat forgot it one. But I don't think we really grasp the fact that we're going to glory and we're going to be up there with him. And what a spectacular and grand and wonderful place that is. We're going to leave this body of pains and troubles and sorrows and hurting and all these things down here, and we're going to step in immediately to a glorious body, into a glorious place. And you think you're going to be quiet and just like another day you wake up out of the bed and say, well, here's another day, it's sunshine and it's pretty outside, I'll smile a little bit, but that's about all I'm giving it. That's not the way heaven's going to be. No. You're in for a big shock. You may need to adjust your pacemaker before you go in. I'm telling you, when you step in that city, and when all that's taken in, he's got to give us a new heart. He's got to give us something other, or we just blow all to pieces. We just disintegrate right in front of him because this body cannot handle it. One day, it's going to be a wonderful place. The sounds of heaven. There's going to be singing. There's going to be shouting. That clear and crystal river. Now, we're not talking about a day or two. We're not talking about a week or two. We're not talking about a month or two or a year or two. We're not even talking about a decade or a century or two. We're talking about eternity. Amen. Now, just imagine. I don't know if we'll ever get calmed down, maybe after a million years or whatever. But you just imagine as we're sitting down beside that river flowing from the throne of God. God the Father's up there on the throne. Jesus is down there and amongst us. And here comes one coming up over here. And she said, let me tell you something. She's got a story to tell. She said, I was the one that was sitting by that well that day. And she said, he come by the well and he asked me for something to drink. And I said, how is it that you asked me of something to drink, seeing I'm a Samaritan? And then he told me about that living water, and he changed my life. There's going to be another man come up. He's going to be the one maybe that was born blind. And Jesus passed by my way one day, and he made me see. And there's going to be a woman with an issue of blood. She's going to sit there. She said, for 12 years I suffered. I was weak as could be. My life was in shambles. I was a mess. I'm telling you, my life was tore all to pieces. But here he come by one day, and I crawled through the crowd, and I touched the hem of his garment, and I've never been the same since. There's going to be another one over there on the other side. He's going to walk up. He's going to say, y'all sit down just for a little bit. I got something to say. I was in the grave for 4 days. But he came by and he called my name. And I come forth out of that grave. I can imagine we'll shout for 6 or 7 years on just old Lazarus, won't we? But there's going to be another one. I believe he was hanging on a cross beside him. And he said, I looked over at him. I was old dirty thief. I was on my way to hell, just a heartbeat from it. But he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, there's going to be some sounds. We're going to get to hear some stories. Firsthand, I've read it in that Bible, and I've read it as good as I can. But one day, they're going to give us some details. They're going to tell us all about what they've done. There's some people that's in this church here that's went through trials, and you went through private trials and private storms that nobody else knows about. And you're going to get up there one day and say, let me tell you how he delivered me out of this storm. How that he walked with me through the flood and walked with me through the fire. He was the third man in the fire, amen. And he was there with me while I was here on this earth. What a day that's going to be. Bless his holy name. Ain't you glad you're going? My goodness, I hope you're going. But I want to say this. There will be some sounds we won't hear. There will be some sounds we won't hear. What a blessing that'll be. You know what we won't hear? We won't hear any crying. I heard crying this week. Weeping. And you have. A lot of y'all, it's nothing new to you. When your loved ones, heart is literally broken in pieces. They're weeping uncontrollably. And they don't understand. And there's just a sound of a cry. But you know, when we get up there, there'll be no more crying. Whew. Ain't you glad he's going to wipe one last time every one of his children's eyes? There'll be no more crying. You know what? You'll never hear up there. You'll never hear goodbye. Never hear goodbye. Amy's not here tonight, so I can say we was up there, and Miss Peggy was laying in that bed, and the doctors pretty much come in, and there's her final moments. I heard what all of them was saying. They was telling her, bye, Mama. Bye, sister. Bye. But there's coming a day where we'll never say goodbye. We'll never tell them bye. There'll never be another bye in that land. Never be another farewell in glory. We're going there to stay. We're going there to stay. No more bad news. I hate it for you. If you're hooked on Fox News, it just won't reach that high. I don't care if you got Dish. I don't care if you got Comcast, Spectrum, whatever. It just don't reach up there. Ain't no iPhones neither. Thank God. I don't know who. That's of the devil right there. We used to, if we wanted to call somebody, we'd pull in the filling station. If you didn't have a quarter, you just out of luck. Right? Some of y'all, it was a dime, but it was a quarter in my days. You know, we ain't gonna hear no bad news up there that this happened or that happened. That phone ain't gonna ring and your heart dropped down in your belly because of what news you just heard. Ain't been no bad news. Whew, no sounds like that. But I tell you, the best of all, we ain't gonna hear no more. Anybody want to guess who sits on your shoulder? Who whispers in that ear? Who talks junk all day? Am I the only one? He sits on your shoulder and tells you you're a loser, you're sorry as all get out. And, you know, most of that I have to agree with him. But you know what? That lying scoundrel, he's going to the pit, and he'll never, once we cross that line, Brother Tim, he'll never sit on my shoulder again. He'll never worry me to death. He'll never make me think these things or do these things. He'll never get up there and whisper in my ear no more. What a day that'll be. Ain't that a blessing? I'm telling you, it's going to be a grand place. It's going to be a wonderful place. the sights of heaven, the society of heaven, the sounds of heaven, but lastly, the Savior of heaven. The Savior of heaven. Notice with me, if you see there, and back over in our text, we've done read it one time, but it'd do good to read it again, a hymn. Verse 23 of Revelation 21, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He's the light of heaven. You know what that light signifies? That light signifies His continuing presence. If you can see that light, as long as I can tell, it's bright in here and I can see all y'all, I know these lights is on. Boy, that light's going to be there no matter where I'm at, on the back side of heaven, on the front side of heaven, in the middle of heaven, wherever. As long as I can see that light, He's right there in the middle of us. He's always going to be with us. He's never going to leave us. He's the Lord of heaven. Not only is He the light, He's the Lord of heaven. This signifies His command. He is in control, always has been. If we look at it now, you hear this world talk. They say Christianity is on a decline. I beg to differ. Christianity is on an incline. We finna get out of here. Christianity is doing, His church is doing good. Don't let the devil tell you the church is doing bad. The church is doing just fine. I promise you, He has not forsaken nobody that is a part of that bride, and He never will. Yeah, we go through storms. Yeah, we go through hard times and difficult times, but He goes through it with us. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He is walking with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. He's with us through every storm, every trial, if you're saved and if you're a child of God. He was in control back then when He walked the earth. He was in control when He created everything. He was in control according to Revelation. It says He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was in control way back then. Then you and I come along. He was in control. He was in control at Calvary. He was in control at Armageddon. He was in control in the millennial reign. And He's going to be in control for all eternity. He is the King of kings. He is the Lamb of heaven. He is the Lamb of heaven as seen. And this is signifying His compassion. My goodness. I think as we see Him, you and I try to love. We try to love our children. We try to love our spouse. And we try our best to show love to our brothers and our sisters. But I'll be honest with you, I don't know how to love anybody, really. Not the way He does. And you know, you think about this, there's no greater feeling than to know you're loved by somebody. You know, it's good to be liked. It's good to be liked by people, and people like you and befriend you. But for somebody to love you, there's very few people really in this world, I believe, that love you. You know, Christ loved us so much that He laid down His life for us. You know, you men, if you're a real man, of course you would lay your life down for your wife. You would lay your life down for your kids and wouldn't think twice about it, right? I mean, I just happened. It's like an automatic thing. But you know, there's a lot of folks I couldn't do that for. But He's done that for us. And we're going to get to see that love and feel that love firsthand. We're going to get to see that charity that's spoken about in 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to get to see that love with legs on it and action behind it. We're going to get to see, boy, what a compassionate and loving Savior that you and I have. Isn't that something? Ain't you glad? How in the world have you ever looked in the mirror? And listen to me. Have you ever looked in that mirror and thought, how in the world does God love me? I've wondered that 1,000 times. Somebody like me, I could probably see why He loves you. But I know me. You hear what I'm saying? I know who I am. I know who I've been. I know, and you know, it blows my mind how he loves somebody like me, but he does. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad tonight that he loves sinners? Really loves. It's not just a word. It's just, you know, a lot of times we'll tell somebody, I love you, and it's just a word. Bad as I hate to say it down here, but he really loves us in such a way. He give everything. He give everything. Everything for people that would curse his name. He give everything for people that would live in sin. He give everything so that they could have an opportunity to be saved. What a Savior that is. I sure am glad tonight that heaven is waiting on us. And it won't be long. It won't be long till we're going to be there. Whether it be by the grave or whether it be by the rapture. I encourage you tonight to study all this. And you remember the very first verse that we used on our first part is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the very last verse. Paul said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And you know what? This stuff right here comforts you. If you're having a bad day, hear me now. If you're having a horrible day, and I know they come. I know it's sometimes weeks and months even. Maybe you've had a bad year even. I'm talking about it seems like the world is literally falling apart. Get over here and read the end of the book. There's a lot of chapters in here. 1,187 chapters, and there's all kinds of stories. There's all kinds of hard endings in it. There's all kinds of squalling and crying and heartache and pain. I mean, it's everything. But the end sure does read real well. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through something, if you're facing the most difficult season of your life, get over there and read the end. And just put your foot down and say, I'm going to press on because I ain't got very long. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for your blessed word. Thank you so much for church. I thank you, Lord, for these people. Lord, I ask you, Jesus, God, to bless each and every person in this room. I know, no doubt, God, there's hearts that's hurting in here right now. There's lives that's torn to pieces right now. There's marriages. There's children that don't. Lord, only you can fix this. And I pray, God, Lord, that you'd help them by the power of your word. And we give you honor and we give you glory for it all. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.